Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
This is Ken and Curtis on WEEI.
Save us as a favorite on the Odyssey app. And take Boston Sports Original everywhere you go.
All right, Curtis, things are getting good around here. We've got playoff series for the Bruins and Celtics. Get back to that chatter here in a bit. And, of course, 5 days from the NFL draft. And the Patriots have a new era. Of course, we've gone through this whole thing over the last 4 months. New coach, new GM in waiting, in theory. And the departure of Bill Belichick, who is now a media guy, and the emergence of Brady as a potential media guy. We got all these things happening.
And it is, as a newly 40-year-old man, there are a few things that get the juices flowing for me. Like a brand new, unexpected Seth Wickersham, Don Van Natta, Jeremy Fowler long read on anything Patriots related. Because honestly, without Seth, we wouldn't know half the stuff we know about the Patriots. So Seth is on the Harbor One Hotline. Good morning, Seth. How are you?
So wait, when was your birthday?
Oh, it was in February. It was a while ago. But I was just saying.
Oh, okay, okay.
I am newly in the 40s that the, yes. You know, our demise occurs this decade usually. But the manner in which the story unfolded and the relationship, obviously, that we knew was, you know, not great with Robert Kraft and Bill Belichick. Mm-hmm. But to me, I wanted to start off with you, Seth, on this. Mm-hmm. What was the point of that non-press conference goodbye the Wednesday after the season ended, where you had Robert Kraft and Bill Belichick in front of the media, neither taking questions? In hindsight, we knew the Dynasty docuseries was in the can. We knew that the relationship was not functional. Why the attempt to do that at that time by Robert and Bill?
I don't know. I never asked anybody that. My gut would be, you know, they both just thought it was appropriate and, you know, wanted to, you know, end this historic run, with the image of it looking like it was on the high note. Even if, you know, especially Robert Kraft's own words, subsequently have shown, you know, just how strained those, you know, that relationship was.
Well, Seth, I don't know if you could put like a percentage on it, but some great reporting in this story at ESPN.com. To what extent, after all your reporting, do you think the Kraft conversation with Arthur Blank directly submarined Bill's chances to get that job in Atlanta?
Yeah, there was two of them, and the simple fact is that I don't exactly know. However, a source close to Belichick believes that Kraft played a big part in it. And let's zoom out for a second here. Robert Kraft and Arthur Blank, as owners go, are good friends. And it's been no secret in league circles for a long time that the Kraft-Belichick relationship functioned on a professional level very, very well. But these were two men who didn't necessarily, they weren't personal friends. I reported in my book that back in 2008, Kraft was at a league meeting. So this is 2008. This is after the Patriots were 30 seconds from a undefeated season and after Spygate. And an executive asked Kraft at the league meeting, what's it going to take for you to fire that a-hole? And Kraft said, 8-8. So that was a long time ago. And, you know, I think that Kraft and Blank have spoken with some candor about Belichick over the years. Now, mid-January, Belichick is available to be a head coach for the first time in a long time since the 90s. And Kraft and Blank spoke twice about him. And we have reporting that showed that Kraft expressed clearly that Belichick wasn't trustworthy. And now, Stacey James, Kraft spokesman, Patriot spokesman, denies that that was part of the conversation. However, he elaborated that, you know, there could have been some candor and that, like, at tough moments, he could see, you know, some feelings being vented between Kraft and Blank. But Arthur Blank had that interview with Bill Belichick on January 25th on his super yacht. He was enamored with Bill Belichick. There was a lot of reports and speculation coming out that he was the front runner. Remember, the joke was that, you know, it wasn't Blank interviewing Belichick. It was vice versa.
Right.
And then he meets with the Falcons staff. And by that point, I think that the odds were long that Belichick was going to coach the Falcons. And as we report, he wasn't in anyone's top three of the executives there. And so something happened. And we did our best to try to illuminate it.
Yeah, Seth Wickersham joins us. Great story, long read ESPN.com, with reporting also from Don Van Natta and Jeremy Fowler on why Bill Belichick was voted off the Falcons island. On the reporting that interests me is that, you know, I don't know, none of us, I guess, do, the percentage of which Jonathan has assumed day-to-day with Robert as the leaders of this organization, but the Commanders component of this really illuminates the Josh Harris relationship with Jonathan Kraft, which has been sort of an open secret, you know, in the people that follow this closely locally, that they met at Harvard Law School, Harvard Business School, and, you know, had a relationship. That part of it, was that a similar situation that just it never really got off the ground, where Bill would have gone there, obviously, given his roots close by from where he grew up by Annapolis? What went on with the Commanders and their interest or not, or the lack thereof, in Bill Belichick?
Yeah, that stunned me, right? Because it seemed like that he was more tailor-made to go to Washington than Atlanta, because he could help reset that franchise, help them on the business initiatives, get a stadium in D.C., provide some structure to a team that, you know, hasn't had structure for a long time. And it just seemed mutually beneficial. We report that Josh Harris told people in mid-December that there was no way that he was hiring Belichick. He too spoke to Kraft, to Robert Kraft, and he was never in play. And I mean, it's kind of astounding that he did talk to Adam Peters, the new GM, who Adam, of course, used to work in New England. And so there was a little bit of a relationship there, not much. Adam was obviously, like, pretty low in the totem pole when he was in New England, but there was respect there. And I think there was no question that Bill was really interested in that job, but it never materialized in any sort of official way. If you look at Josh Harris's teams, they are GM-centric. The head coach reports to the GM. Now, I don't think that Belichick wanted total control or total authority, but, like, I think that he would have wanted to report to an owner. I don't know that for a fact. It's just my guess. But either way, it never got that far. And his job interview with the Falcons, his first official job interview as a head coach since 1998, when he interviewed with Al Davis and the Raiders brass and lost out on that job to John Gruden, it was only with the Falcons, and it wasn't with anybody else. And even though Washington on paper made sense, it showed that there just was no real interest there from Josh Harris. And when he hired Adam Peters to be the GM, that was a big tell that Belichick wasn't going to be in play there.
It's shocking to me, Seth, that other organizations, just to pick the guy's brain, wouldn't bring him in for an interview. That was the component of all this that I was shocked, because what do you have to lose? You're talking to a guy who has an encyclopedic knowledge of everything that happened in the NFL the last 40 years and knows a thing or two about, you know, how the league works, even if you don't hire him.
There's no doubt. And Belichick is kind of a known asset, right? I mean, he's a known quantity. We know who he is at this point. He's been in the public eye for a very, very long time. And really, this story is about ownership and what they value and what matters to them at this moment in time and what doesn't, at least among the teams that had openings. And I think that the feedback from teams that considered him, even if it was just a conversation, centered around a couple things. The damaged relationship with Kraft, the fact that he is in his early 70s, and there's a perception that he's only going to coach until he passes Don Shula, and, you know, then what? Then you're starting over in two more years. And finally, that even though he didn't say he wanted total control, he was very clear that he just wants to coach. He doesn't need to do everything. I think there's a sense that he is so intimidating, so meticulous, his structures and philosophies are so well thought out, that if you bring him in, you kind of just have to give him the keys, whether he asks for them or not, and out of respect, and you know what you're buying. And right now, that among the teams that had, you know, openings this past season, you know, that wasn't desired. And it really is baffling. And I think that that's, you know, that's the main reason why we wanted to look into it. It's just insane that a guy with his resume, and stature isn't coaching when he wants to coach.
Seth, is there any reporting on if Tom Brady was reached out to by these organizations, if to get his thoughts, even in a sort of unofficial, you know, conversation?
I have no insight into that. Obviously, you know, Adam Schefter and I reported a year ago that Brady was going to, you know, trying to buy an ownership stake in the Las Vegas Raiders. We had some reporting that, you know, Mark Davis considered reaching out to Belichick. Obviously, there's a lot of great history there with his dad and Belichick. But remember, he had just sort of ushered out a Patriots way light regime, right, in less than 2 years. And, you know, I don't think that hiring Bill was something that he was seriously going to do.
ESPN's Seth Wickersham, our guest here on WEEI with Ken and Curtis. What did Bill do to Robert Kraft behind the scenes, Seth? What happened there that the trust would have eroded to this point where he's calling other owners to warn them?
It's a great question. From Belichick's point of view, I mean, sources have told us that he's not exactly sure why all this is coming out, why Kraft said the things that he said in the dynasty, pointing fingers at him so much. And I think it's interesting how narratives work. Like, you have the past 2 years of Patriots football where they've looked pretty bad offensively. And there was a narrative that Belichick's kind of lost his fastball, that, you know, it was all Brady, that, you know, the Patriot way, as it turns out, is not divisible. And then the dynasty comes out, in which Kraft, you know, looks into the camera and confirms a bunch of reporting that me and others had sent out over the years that he had denied, showing just how bad those relationships were. In fact, they were worse than any of us knew. And, you know, how personally Kraft took some of those things, such as blaming the Eagles Super Bowl loss square on Belichick's shoulders.
Unbelievable.
And then, you know, he's out of a job. And then he really doesn't get much of a look outside of the Falcons to be a head coach. And now all of a sudden, it's like all this stuff has kind of shifted the narrative a little bit, where like people are remembering that this guy has authored some of the most brilliant game plans in NFL history, not just in big games, but in, you know, routine AFC East games. And I think that I think there's a new appreciation for Bill that's coming out from his former players, from his friends around the league, from other coaches, in light of everything that's happened the past 2 years. Now, whether that means he's going to get a head coaching job next year remains to be seen.
Yeah, I mean, Seth, just speaking locally, I know you're nearby Bristol at times, so you probably get the vibes of the fans here occasionally. However, I can tell you the groundswell of support for Belichick and the precipitous fall from grace for Robert Kraft has been unbelievable. And it for me, I look at like the way Robert Kraft would have you understand his stewardship of the Patriots is that he was powerless in his own organization. But it appears he's tried to exert the power that he has outside of it as a way to punish Bill for not allowing him in the room. That sort of would be my read of how we got here.
Well, I think that he's proven to be a fantastic owner, and it's his team, and he has a right to run it however he wants. And he looked into the camera and made fans aware of decisions that he decided to make as an owner that, you know, where football matters. We're not trading Tom Brady. You know, what are all these things that, you know, that might be. And he's allowed to do that. And these were extreme circumstances that everyone was dealing with. I mean, you're talking about an unparalleled dynasty, not only in its success, but its longevity. And, you know, it's over now. And I think that Kraft has been trying to, for years, I think, you know, through some of his friends and associates, you know, made clear that he was not, that he deserved some credit for this, that he actually helped things a lot more than people would realize. And it's something that he wanted fans to know. He wanted fans to know his involvement. And, like, I don't think that anything he did, from my point of view, was inappropriate or atypical for how a lot of owners behave. But I think that it's something that he's wanted to make fans clear of, is that, you know, he didn't just sit by idly. Like, he had a big part in this. And I think he did. And the problem is that it's come at the expense of Belichick the last couple months. And now I think that, again, you're seeing sort of like that blowback where, you know, a lot of Patriots players are really upset with the way that the dynasty was portrayed. And, you know, the fact that Belichick was unlike any other figure, not only in, you know, American sports, but kind of in American culture, certainly as a head coach, but also as a figure. And, you know, they're not going to let that get taken away and get eclipsed by, you know, narratives that the dynasty might have been more Brady and Kraft than Belichick.
Get you out on this very quickly. Three quick answers, mm-hmm. just your guess. Will mm-hmm. Bill Belichick be at Brady Day? Will Bill Belichick coach again in the NFL? And any shot to the Tom Brady coming back rumors that he started?
Triple barrel.
Triple barrel.
Okay. the first one was the Brady Day in June.
Yes. Will Belichick be there, do you think?
I'm going to say yes.
Okay.
Will he coach again? That one's the hardest one out of all of these. I don't think so, but I'm willing to, I'll probably eat that. You know, this is like, you know, I don't know what openings are going to be open next year. So I don't know what owners are going to make decisions, but I just think that, as much as people are remembering how brilliant this coach has been over the years, I think it might be too hard to reboot a career when he's going to be 73 when the 2025 season starts. And then the third one, will Brady play again?
Yes.
I'm going to say no unless Brock Purdy gets hurt.
Ooh,
I like
spicy.
It. All right, Seth, thanks so much for the time on short notice this morning. Greatly appreciate it.
My pleasure, guys. Thank you.
That's ESPN Seth Wickersham. How about that? Some good stuff there.
My
favorite thing is?
What?
From the whole thing? That was the answer to my question. Why is Kraft so mad? From Bill's point of view, he's not really sure.
That was the best. You did a great job with that. And it was simple because Bill Belichick, of all the parties, right, whether it's the Holy Trinity, and I go back to, we've cited it a million times with Jerry and Mutt in Atlanta when Charlie Weiss came by the set from Radio Row, and he said, if you ask Bill why they're successful, he'll say Bill. If you ask Tom, he'll say Tom. If you ask Robert, he'd say himself. They all that's why it eroded at the end, because you can only sort of deflect and be deferential for a period of time. But Bill, of the three, changed the least. And so he's looking at it like, I've been Bill Belichick since I got to the NFL. Like, I'm kind of ornery with the media. I don't like other people coming in and telling me what to do, but I'll win. And so when he looks at it, he's probably like, you know, I'm playing the quarterback. He had me draft. I've been malleable. I've allowed him into this room.
But Robert Kraft is like you. He was so pissed, my read on it, he's so pissed about the Eagles, Malcolm Butler situation, and about Patricia. He almost fired him after 2022, and he just blames Bill for the whole end.
There's three things. It's that he couldn't figure it out with Tom.
Yeah.
And that, well, not even that. It was Tom winning when, if you believe the dynasty, Bill said he was done.
Right.
It was the Butler game, and it was the Patricia Judge hiring.
All right, your reaction to Seth Wickersham's take on the Belichick dynasty drama, 617-779-7937. Also, the latest on Jaden Daniels, and then back to Bruins and Celtics talk as well. Joe B. right now with what's trending.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
In the town where I was born, lived.
To what extent, after all your reporting, do you think the Kraft conversation with Arthur Blank directly submarine Bill's chances to get that job in Atlanta?
The simple fact is that I don't exactly know. However, a source close to Belichick believes that Kraft played a big part in it. And Robert Kraft and Arthur Blank, as owners go, are good friends. And it's been no secret in league circles for a long time, that the Kraft-Belichick relationship functioned on a professional level very, very well. But these were two men who didn't necessarily, they weren't personal friends.
We all live in a yellow submarine.
Well, yellow submarine. Curtis has predicted that's the Bruins against the Leafs. Leafs in six, is that what you're saying?
Yep.
That right there is Seth Wickersham. If you missed that interview or any part of the show, you can have it delivered to your phone daily. Just subscribe to weekend shows. Or if you missed something on the Greg Hill show this week, subscribe to Greg Hill on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts. Wickersham was good.
And the amazing thing about the human psyche is that if Robert Kraft had just sung the praises of Bill Belichick and told Arthur Blank, you know, he's quirky, but I'll take championship quirk if you give it to me, then Robert Kraft doesn't have to pay a nickel of $25 million.
Yeah, it cost him $25 million.
And
that phone call, potentially.
And he gets to sit back and build his own team in a separate conference away from Bill Belichick, and Bill can try and get past Shula in Atlanta. And you know what? There's no shot in hell the Falcons are winning a Super Bowl anyway. So why not? Of all the possible destinations for Bill Belichick, Atlanta was the least, you know, intimidating for the Patriots and their brass.
Think about what you just said there. If you had asked Kraft, I'll pay you $25 million and you can send Bill to Atlanta, he would prefer to lose $25 million and have Bill sit out.
But that's why the human psyche is so effed that this fear of being...
Allegedly.
Right. Alleged fear. I didn't ask Kraft what would happen to Mayo if they don't win a playoff game. But allegedly, this all occurred. Yeah. And what is so shocking is how someone so close, of all the owners, right? Nobody's closer to Boston. Nobody grew up around here. Nobody has lived this experience like Robert Kraft. And to be so detached and tone deaf as to how your actions will be received. Like, did he not think Bill Belichick was going to fight back at all?
But yet, Wickersham thinks he'll be at Brady Day? I just don't see that.
But that's more about Brady. I think, I agree with you. After this week, I thought, no shot. But it is going to be for Bill Belichick, right? What better way? Because if he doesn't go, there will be the stories that it's, you know, even though I think the fan base would probably support him, there will be the way in which it's he will be the bad guy in some corners.
When they go low, you go high. Bill goes high.
He's Michelle Obama.
And he really is.
But when he's there, right, he walks in the door and he's introduced by Jim Gray or whoever's, you know.
He'll want the Gillette adulation.
It will. The biggest ovation of the night would be for him if it was done today.
Well, not greater than Brady.
I mean, I do think
who's only coming back if Purdy gets hurt. But according to Wickersham,
I just called my dad to pay Galooly to go just whack Purdy in the arm.
But AJ Brown seems to want Brady here. You're not buying into that storyline this week?
No.
Brady and AJ, where they should have been together in the first place.
What I did say, it was actually during a break, I was telling Greg that of all the time, the Patriots could use, like, as long as Brady's deal with the Raiders hasn't been signed, it may be the perfect time to, you know, to fork over a percent of the team and say, Tom, you're our football czar, because they need that right now. I mean, they need to win, which they're not going to do a lot of this year. And the draft has been a masterclass in how collaboration doesn't usually work well in their build up to this, and how the many fires they've had to put out by different things Mayo said or Elliot Wolf has said, or the whole organization does not seem to be in strong footing.
We'll talk draft here in a few minutes. Eddie Olczyk at 11:45 to preview Bruins and Leafs. Some Wickersham interview reaction from Rick in Portsmouth right now, though, and Kenny Curtis. Hi, Rick.
Hey, thanks so much for taking my call, Ken. Really like the show and enjoy listening to you, Curtis. I just can't help but wonder why everybody's blaming Kraft, because, you know, when you don't do a good job, you get a bad recommendation or job reference from your boss. And that's what happens here. That's what happened here, and that's what happens in the real world. So, you know, why everybody's butthurt about Belichick, I don't get it. He drove this franchise into the ground. He gave away his million-dollar ticket, and he sucked. And that's what happens when you leave an employer and you try to get another employer.
Rick, you make great points. I'm not hanging up on you. Just to offer my perspective on this. I hear you, and you're right. However, if Robert Kraft had just let it be after that Wednesday,
let it breathe,
and say, you know, thank you, you know, you're going to come back. First, we're going to have a statue. We're going to put you in the Patriots Hall of Fame. And if he had said, you know, he could have let well enough be with Arthur Blank and not called back to reiterate that he is someone you can't trust. Because trust, without it, there's nothing. And so that's just from my perspective. I think that what Kraft did was unnecessary, and the blowback he's getting is deserved.
You know, I don't agree, man. I don't agree, Curtis. It's the real world. And when you do a bad job, you don't get a good reference from your boss. And that's exactly what happened. Belichick had multiple years of failure, you know, one thing after another. And I'm surprised he lasted that long. And I'm surprised Kraft put up with him for that long. I am not surprised Belichick's not coaching.
Yeah,
well, in hindsight, if Robert did contemplate firing Bill after the 8-9 2022 season, he should have just done it then.
Right.
Instead of calling Netflix, having a 2-year campaign to besmirch Bill's character,
right,
all behind his back while he's still coaching your team. You should have cut ties then.
You say what you said to Arthur when you fire him.
Yeah.
Because that's the truth. You could say Bill Belichick is the greatest coach in NFL history. But after he hired his two friends to coach a side of the ball they've never coached, and he submarined our most important asset, I lost trust in him. That's it, right? Yep. I mean, is that accurate?
Yep. Let's go to Sorja in Mansfield. Hi, Sorja. Good morning.
Ken, Curtis, how are we? How are you guys doing on this rainy day?
Oh, well. Just great. How are you?
Doing well. So, yeah, I just wanted to comment on the relationship between, Belichick and Kraft and Fallout. I mean, you look at Kraft. I mean, he really didn't have to do any of this. And the funny thing is that he's actually a guy who wants to be loved, wants to be revered. And I just don't understand the actions that he's taken. And I heard this on a podcast, and I think it's going to be the sad truth that this is going to really hit Kraft when on Tom Brady Day, he's going to hear a lot of boos because we know it's going to happen, and I wouldn't be surprised if we heard a lot of boos that day. And, you know, I just don't like the direction of the franchise is going because I think Wiggy made a great point yesterday on the show where if the Patriots do trade down and do something that Bill was going to do anyways, then what was the point of firing Bill Go? And the last point I'll make is, Curtis, I know you were never really a Bill guy, and I think it's so funny that because of the treatment of Bill from Kraft, he's convincing a lot of guys like you to almost have sympathy for Bill.
It is amazing. You have totally flip-flopped.
But it's impossible not to. Like, as someone, like, just put yourself into the Bill's shoes.
But what's funny is you agree with Kraft on every point. You agree with him on Patricia. You agree with him on Malcolm Butler. You agree with him on Brady getting away. You agree with him on Brady winning and having to watch Brady win in Tampa. You were as upset as Kraft was every step of the way.
But there's a big button there. I blamed Bill Belichick for the aversion of spending, and I was wrong. Robert Kraft is the one who was behind that. I think there were times where, maybe it was most time, that Bill enjoyed having that sort of caste system where you're not going to give all these money, you have to have all that. But it was Robert Kraft who set the budget.
I think they agreed. I think you're right. But, to your point, they both agreed on the financial plan.
But either way, the fact that they haven't spent in the absence of Bill has reiterated the feeling that I had. And if you benefit greatly from someone else and they enable you to make money and do all these things, then you owe that person if you can't say anything nice, don't say anything nice at all. But to go out of your way to punish someone from getting another opportunity is something that you can't stand for. They were right to move on from Bill. The second that Bill wanted to trade Mac and they said no, they should have said goodbye. It was totally...
The problem is, from Kraft's point of view, I'm not saying he's right. It wasn't not saying anything nice at all. It was, I need to change the narrative and get my story out through the docuseries, through these conversations.
But I said this a million times, and listen, we love when people speak, especially in this field.
Yeah.
It's great. The only thing that matters is if they win. If the next time the Patriots win a championship, everybody will move away. Nobody will talk about it anymore. The same way, if you go back to when the Red Sox let Lester go and the Cubs won a World Series, they were getting destroyed. Mm-hmm. But guess what happened? 2018, now John Lester retired. He was at spring training this year. Everybody's happy.
Yeah.
So if you win...
Clemens comes back.
But that's the point. But the Clemens wasn't coming back prior to 04.
Right.
When you win in 04, it's over. So you can try and curry favor in... What Kraft has done makes me further understand Belichick's lack of desire to do these things with him. He was so obsessed with the vanity of being praised and to not get blamed when, as I said to Seth, he was impotent in his own organization, but he swung it around outside of it to prevent Bill from getting a job.
But not toward the end, because I believe he had the Mac Jones pick. That was the Kraft influence, and then Bill ruined that. So Kraft blamed him for that. And here we are again, another quarterback draft in 5 days. And this is getting good, too, with the draft. Now, you had a clip from Rodney Harrison you teased, which we never got to. Another hater, another Drake's Cake hater. And you're a Drake's Cake guy.
Oh, my God. If you haven't had the brand new Boston Cream Yodel from Drake's Cakes, you haven't lived.
All right, so I want to hear this. So, Rodney, where was this?
Was also a controversial moment on the Greg Hill Show yesterday. I said to Shime, we should use this for They Said It. He said no, because it was against the Shime mock. So
what? Jeez.
So, Rodney Harrison.
Okay.
Rips Drake May.
Here we go.
Roddy, what do they do at quarterback, talking about the Patriots?
Well, you're probably going to have to find something in the later rounds or possibly even trade for a quarterback, but there's no way I'm spending the number three pick overall on Drake May. There's no way.
Yeah, he didn't expand on that. He just doesn't like him. He's a Merrill Hodge guy.
And I am lockstep with my man, Rodney Harrison.
Man, as a Drake's Kick spokesman, again, this is unnerving. Now, can I just add to this? So Schefter yesterday, I'm going to play the Schefter cut coming up when we return. But to paraphrase, Jaden Daniels is reportedly uninterested in playing for the Commanders. Why not just trade up and get Jaden Daniels? They are open for business to trade that pick. So you and I agree, Drake May is risky. I mean, I would take him, I guess, as worth a shot. We talked about this last week.
But what if Washington takes Drake May?
Well, perfect, but can you really count on that? I mean, why
would you have to give up to move up to two?
I don't know. Probably not much. Give him a sixth. Give him a fifth.
If it just took a sixth, they'd already do it.
Yeah, but from the Commanders' point of view, they don't want to trade back very far because then they might miss Drake May. So they only want to go back one slot and pick up a little bit. Just work out a deal. Call Magic Johnson and say, look, you don't want Jaden Daniels. He doesn't want to play for you. He wants to play for us.
Magic Johnson wanted Bill Belichick before Josh Harris talked about it.
We'll give you the rights to Bill.
There you go.
All right. Anyway, I want to play the Schefter comment on the way. Eddie Olczyk, 11:45. Bruins and Celtics on the board, too. It's Kenny Curtis.
Just give me the D's and we be clubbing, y'all. Clubbing, y'all. Y'all make me please and we be tugging now. Tugging now. Sipping Hennessy and we be bubbling, y'all. Bubbling, y'all. Set to minor T's, we got to take it slow. In the city, yes, be floating, though provoking. Call the girls where we're poking, got to smoking. Best thing for the recreation, to get the best girls in every nation. Top our girls, we're promoting and supporting. And them love how we're floating, hear them shouting. First class ticket.
There we go, Curtis. Happy 420. I know you wanted Cypress Hill. You're a big Cypress Hill guy.
Yep.
I'm going Sean Paul.
Cypress Hill's rolling up, smoking up, right?
Hits from the bong. Well, they have multiple.
Roll it up, smoke it up.
Yeah, they do. Yeah, multiple. Quite a catalog, Cypress Hill.
I've smoked marijuana once in my life.
Really? That's it?
That was not a fun experience. Just started coughing and
Rivers?
Said, nope. Sophomore year BC.
Wow.
Did not enjoy
With whom?
Chris Brown.
Okay. Where'd you get it from?
I did. Ferris, okay. Our guy from Vermont down the hall.
Okay.
Chris Ferris.
It is the Kenny Curtis Show. We've got a draft in 5 days. Time to get serious. We also have some calls on the board about Kraft and Belichick, though. Before we get to the Jaden Daniels and the Schefter sound, let's take a few.
I didn't inhale.
I don't believe it. Let's go to Johnny and Gardner. Hello, John.
Good morning, boys. I hope you're doing well. Real quick on the quarterback thing, not only is it important to pick the right guy, but it's important to pass on the guy that you think is the wrong guy. In other words, if the Patriots get down, if they stay 1-2-3, and the quarterback that falls to them, they believe is not the right guy. They should pass and move on and take another pact of operation, in my opinion, because you don't want to draft the wrong guy. But Bill and Kraft, I don't think it's that complicated. Bill didn't give Kraft the respect, quote unquote, that he feels he deserves. Mr. Kraft, the billionaire, the owner, he's on the TV committee, the negotiator. He's a big deal, right? And people usually bow down and kiss his ass and all like that. Bill didn't do that. I don't know if that was the case from the beginning, but if you look at over the years, I've seen a lot of body language of photos and video of Bill, like, blowing him off, body language-wise, you know?
Hey,
I don't
John,
think
John
your phone's awful.
Phone's cutting out there, John, but thank you. I get the point. So do you think Bill didn't get respect enough from Kraft in public settings?
Obviously not recently. Winning covered up the lack of relationship. When they started losing,
they just did their own thing and didn't speak.
Right. They just were never close. And so when you're winning, you can be fine with that. And when you lose, it exacerbates the problem.
Tim in Hanover. Hello, Tim.
Guys, love the show.
Thank you.
Hey, Curtis, you're 100% right between the Kraft-Belichick deal. They decimated the team together. They didn't do what they should have did, and now look at what they did. It's in shambles, man. And then on top of that, like I say, I think going forward, they're just hurting each other 100% down the road. But here's the deal. If they don't go and get Harrison and then get the linemen that they need and build that foundation, they're putting the cart before the horse. They're going to be 4 or 5 years down the road. not even seeing a Super Bowl.
So are you a Joe Alt guy?
I don't know who Joe Alt is. I just love listening to you guys, and I'm very knowledgeable on football. And I'm telling you right now, 4 to 5 years before they even see a chance at getting in the Super Bowl. And the Super Bowl is won by just a tip sometimes or a couple of mistakes, and they're done, man. They don't get there that easy. Hmm. Look at the 49ers, for instance. 49ers were picked basically the last 2-3 years, went nowhere.
No puck luck.
No. I go back to Seth Wickersham. Oh, how great would it be? Rematch of the Super Bowl, Niners-Chiefs. Where's the Super Bowl this year? I don't even know. New Orleans, I think.
Sounds right.
Brady's first Super Bowl won in New Orleans, comes out of retirement, joins his hometown team to play for the 49ers as they try to stop the Chiefs winning three consecutive.
It is the Superdome in New Orleans.
Look at that.
Nice job. Good pull.
I used to think about it because I know we were going. Now I just can't even see the Super Bowl from my house. But
well, that's why Drake May, you sit him for a couple years, and you build around him. Now
They're far away from contending.
But over to Jaden Daniels. If this is a two-quarterback draft, as you and I sort of think, really there's going to be two good ones, Caleb and Jaden.
Just before we close the book on that, do you think it's 0% Tom comes back?
Here, yes.
No, in general.
No, I could see him doing San Francisco. Okay, I think Seth's right.
Gary, yeah.
Mid-season. Okay, so here's the Schefter report yesterday. Would you agree this is weird from Jaden Daniels' point of view? The Commanders have all the quarterbacks in at once. If you believe the reporting, they told Jaden Daniels, we're bringing you in for an interview, and he thought it was going to be solo. He shows up, and it's him, it's Drake May, it's J.J. McCarthy, everybody's there. It's just weird.
And it's weird that Brian Kelly would say what he said knowing that.
Right, unless things have changed dramatically since then. The Commanders, maybe they had a bad meeting, whatever the first meeting was bad.
Brian Kelly does not seem very trustworthy.
Okay, so here's Schefter yesterday. I think this is on McAfee, talking about the latest with Daniels and the Commanders at 2.
Seemed to go over too well with the agent for Jaden Daniels, Ron Butler, who sounded off on social media last night that he didn't seem particularly pleased with the process. I think Jaden Daniels thought it would be a visit with just him, meeting with the Commanders. Many people think that Jaden Daniels will wind up being the number 2 overall pick, but the Commanders essentially opened up the process.
Okay, that must have been on SportsCenter, but anyway, they opened up the process. So they're open for trading. So if it's a 2-quarterback draft, shouldn't Elliott Wolf be aggressive and go up and get this guy?
I don't think that there's no need to do that. I really think that there's a better chance that they sit at 3 and Daniels falls to them than somebody trades up with the Commanders.
Well, no, the Commanders could trade with somebody else. They'll trade out and somebody.
So they don't want a quarterback.
Who?
The Commanders.
No, they do.
Where would they fall
to? They want one of the top 4. That's the thing. They don't want to go back very far. But 6, to go back to 6 and get McCarthy.
Okay, so they would trade with a team that wants Daniels?
Right.
Okay, I don't know.
I feel like there's not enough discussed about Daniels. He's open. He's out there. You could get him.
Which one of the networks carries the NFL draft?
ESPN and NFL Network.
Who benefits greatly from there being controversy? We already know number 1, right? We know it's Caleb Williams.
So this is a Schefter creation. I mean, the agent is publicly saying he's upset with the process.
Right. Maybe he doesn't want to play for Washington.
Right.
Who knows?
It's true. That's got to be true. That's a fact. Okay. He doesn't want to end up there. This could be Elway. This could be Eli Manning all over again. You could be the team that benefits from that.
I don't.
If you get off your ass and don't just sit there and wait.
I don't think any of these guys are Elway, including Caleb Williams. I mean, Elway we knew about from when he was in high school.
Okay, but don't you think there's a greater chance that Jaden Daniels is a hit compared to Drake May?
Slightly, yes.
Slightly, that's
like
it?
50 to 23%.
Well, that's big.
23.5% chance.
That's
that
huge.
Drake May is good.
Come on. If you got a 50-50 chance of finding an...
Okay, can I bet you lunch that the Patriots don't trade up to 2?
No, I agree with you.
So then what are we talking about? They're not going to do
it. We're talking
about
what they should be doing.
Okay.
I'm telling you my opinion.
I live in the real world. I wish you would stop hassling me.
Elliott Wolf. Okay.
I mean, honestly, it's like we can talk about it until we're blue in the face, but...
Is that Goo Goo Dolls or is that...
That would Matchbox 20.
Matchbox 20. You can never tell the difference.
Goo Goo Dolls, Iris, great tune.
Okay.
Where you join with that? Sometimes you bleed just to know you're alive.
That's too slow.
It's depressing.
Yeah, too depressing.
I like the Kinks, Victoria. Right. So one other quick note before we get to the top of the hour.
Snuff that right up.
Can I get an optimistic Red Sox nugget and then a sad news story?
Want one from me?
No, I have both.
Pedro Jr., baby Pedro last night.
Successful year, no matter the record, if baby Pedro turns into an ace?
He and Hauk, 1-2 punch. Could be the best 1-2 punch since Shill and Pedro.
Hauk and Bayo and pray for rain. So Marcelo Mayer, obviously. Marcelo Mayer, big story, right, with the injury to Trevor Story. He has hit in every game this year with Double A. He's
healthy.
Hitting currently .366.
Padlock Field Roadshow.
I love it. He's got 15 hits in 10 games.
Kyle Teal also hitting well.
So last year he got to Double A and struggled. Right now he's hitting the cover off the ball, so that's good news at least early on, especially if you know this, Ken, early on, pitchers ahead of the hitters. And then really sad news, anybody that is around my age knows that as a sports fan, Stump the Schwab was must-see TV, Googling everything, back when Dino was right on the money doing trivia. It was a great sports show. It was awesome. Howie Schwab was Dick Vitale's personal statistician, a guy at ESPN. When I worked there, I never met him, but everybody I know from there loves Howie Schwab, a truly great guy, and he passed away suddenly. And so rest in peace, Howie Schwab, one of the true originals in this field, and a guy that did you ever watch that show?
Yeah, of course.
Awesome. Yep. Great show. So sad news, Howie Schwab passed away.
All right, Ken and Curtis here on EEI. On this April 20th, Eddie Olczyk at 11:45, the preview Bruins and Leafs. We'll report on any kind of practice updates over at the Garden today. We've got a game tonight, Curtis, 8 p.m. And there is some Miami Heat news regarding their roster that could impact the series I have for you next. I would like to reset your opinion that you are believing in the Leafs and not the Heat and why that is possibly the case.
Can't wait.
Next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.